We hope you find this WILL podcast to be valuable. A $10 voluntary credit card contribution at willpledge.org will help us continue to make podcasts of our programs available. Thank you. And that address again is willpledge.org. WILLPLEDGE.ORG. Now here's your program.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is Illinois Public Media's Closing Market Report for March 26, 2010. This is Dave Dickey. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzolo of Risk Management Commodities in Lafayette, Indiana. And later this half hour, we'll have cash grain analysis with Bruce Bostard of the Ludlow Co-op in Ludlow, Illinois. In agricultural news, key Chinese officials are rejecting Washington's call for revaluing its currency. We'll have this and other stories this half hour. Also, Todd Gleason reports on shorter season corn hybrids. It's all on the Friday edition of the Closing Market Report.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
Friday afternoon, prices settled like this in Kansas City May wheat: 475.5 down 1.25. July, 486.5 down 1.25. September, 498 down 1.25. May wheat at the Chicago Board of Trade, 464.75, down 1.75. July, 478, down 1.5. September, 493.75, down 1.75. May corn, 356.25, up 1.25. July, 367.5, up 1.25. September, 376.25, up 1.25. December, 385.5, up 3/4. And March, 396.5, up 0.5. May soybeans, 9.52, up 9.5. July, 9.59.75, up 9.25. August, 9.52.5, up 7.5. September, 9.32, up 6.5. November, 9.18, up 5. May soybean meal, 270.90, up $5. July, 267.60, up $4. May soybean oil, 38.95, up 25. July, 39.38, up 25. April live cattle, 94.02.5, down 72.5. June feeders, 91.57.5. They were down 55. June live cattle. April feeders at 107.20, down 27.5. May feeders, 108.15, down 72.5. And April lean hogs at 69.67.5, down 45. And those are Friday's settlements in Kansas City and in Chicago.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Sarah Lukacs in Morris at 815-941-3709. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
Looking at AM 580 Chief Meteorologist Ed Keezer's extended two-state highlights, he says dry and crisp weather will prevail today. Most areas will stay dry during the day tomorrow, but some showers may enter western Illinois late in the day. Rain will push through Illinois and Indiana Saturday night into Sunday. Amounts will likely range from a few hundredths of an inch for far northern Illinois to more than 3/4 of an inch in the Ohio Valley. An extended period of dry weather is expected Monday through Friday next week, favorable for pre-planting field work. Temperatures on Monday will only top out in the upper 40s and 50s, but will rise to the mid-60s to low 70s by Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Longer-range maps indicate a chance for rain during the weekend of April 3rd and 4th. We would like to thank these sponsors who helped support the recent WILL 20th Annual All-Day Ag Outlook Meeting and all of our agricultural programs on air and online: Strategic Farm Marketing, Stuart Peterson, ADM, Risk Management Commodities, and Pioneer. Thank you. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey. Joining us now for a look at the futures market is Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics in Lafayette, Indiana. Good afternoon, Mike.
Hi there, Dave. Nice to be with you again today.
Well, it's nice to be with you. This is the second time of three times you'll be with us today because you'll be on Commodity Week later this afternoon.
Loading up the family and heading over in the Prius.
How many people can you get in a Prius? We've been there before. Let's look at the quarterly hogs and pigs report. All hogs kept for breeding as of March 1, 97%. Kept for marketing, 96. All hogs report is 97. Excuse me. Kept for breeding is 96, and kept for marketing is 97. It probably could not come soon enough for bulls who watched the April lean hog contract lose 367.5 points on the week.
No, that's exactly right. And you also had some big key tests to some support lines on both the daily April chart and the weekly lead month continuation chart, and those two charts actually held going into today's close. And, you know, the nice thing about this, with the numbers, all three line items that you just reported, all three of them were below the lowest range of estimates on the pre-report by the private trade. So maybe we'll get lucky, and maybe we'll hope that USDA repeats this kind of bias when we get our grain reports next week, because I think this report, with all three of the major feature line items, you know, having come in underneath the lowest estimate by the trade, I would think that would bring some bottoming price action into the hogs next week.
And it might need that kind of report next week, the corn anyway, because if you look at the monthly chart, it's got a major reversal lower going on.
Yeah, it does. I mean, we're right in the middle of, on a December continuation-only chart, we're right in the middle of the trading range between that 485, 475 level and the 435 level, the 335 level and the 445 level, and we're right in the middle of that area with the slant towards the downside and the idea that we might be breaking back towards the 335, 340 level and get back to that lower price level, kind of like what wheat did this past week. So that's something that you're right. We definitely want to see a good report next week for the corn, and we may get one. I mean, the way the trade ended this week, I think that the trade's probably, based upon trade contacts and just the way the price action felt on Thursday and even today, it seemed like the trade was, you know, pushing towards the 90-plus million corn planted acres as we finished out the week. And I had heard middle of the day, early part of the day, that there might be some short covering coming in by some hedges being lifted. But with the wheat not really able to do anything and get up and go and take out the previous day's middle of the range and take out some 60-minute chart highs, it just couldn't get anywhere in the wheat, so the corn didn't see that short covering that maybe some had expected.
Well, it will be very interesting, and it will bear watching. Early in February, when we had the long-range economic forecasts, we had an 87 handle. And then later in the month, and when we had the chief of economist reports, we had 88. And so does that mean 89 follows?
I think it does, to the trade at least. And you have to say historically that's where we're headed as well, just because in 2008 we planted just under 225 million acres of corn, beans, and wheat, and all of a sudden the USDA has shrunk that back down to below 220 as of that Agricultural Outlook meeting earlier this month. And so there is about 5 million acres of corn, beans, and wheat acres that are still on the table that are not accounted for those last 2 years. And then you throw into that the idea that the winter wheat acres that did not get planted and some of those going into the corn, I think you probably do have the trade thinking that we can indeed have an increase in both corn acres and an increase in bean acres, and the increase in corn acres could be substantial. And I, you know, you could talk to a lot of producers right now, and the vote is about split now as we get into the end of March and this price break in corn. It seems like producers are really disappointed with the corn price action. Many have expected the beans to fall back some, but many had not expected the corn to fall back this hard. So it's going to be a tough, tough spring, because you've not only got the wheat acres as a question mark, but then you've got the weather, and then you've got the farmer and what he's going to end up doing based upon the price. Will there be some last-minute changes if we don't get a recovery next week in the corn market? And I think that's a real viable possibility.
Well, the average trade estimate was 89.189 for corn. And I guess the question that, I would have for you, do you think that, the trade is trading fair market value this week on that number?
I think the trade is trading between 89.1 and 89.5, and there were some closet bears came out late in the week that I spoke to that are above 90 at this point on their guess, and they one of them even said, I would not be surprised if we got a 91 out of USDA. And so as the market broke and as the weather models changed to a warmer, drier forecast, that acreage number got increased. I would say to you that what I'm looking for on the acreage is the average, like you say, 89.1. If we came out at 89.1, I think that would be neutral to slightly friendly. And if we shrugged back towards that 88.5 level and got down towards where Informa is, and I'm coming in at 88.7, if we got down on those acreage numbers, I think the price would be due for a nice bounce. How much of a bounce corn can have, though, is I think going to be directly related to the beans, because either the USDA is going to give us a good report for beans at the expense of corn, or they're going to give us both. I think they're going to give us potentially big numbers for both, and it kind of slows down the retracement or the short covering in the corn in terms of the potential upside. So if we could get a decent number in the bean and number from USDA, then I think then the corn could probably lift a little bit better than maybe the market's expecting right now.
In the beans, the bull spread working on the week, the May down 9.75, the November down 24.
Yeah, the bull spread worked until the Gulf basis started to slip and the Brazilian weather started to open up a little bit, and that came about around Wednesday, Thursday time period. Now, today we did have a little bit more of a turnaround, and the bull spread came back around. There's talk that an Argentine port is going to strike in terms of dock workers. The midday delta weather came out, Dave. The 6 to 11-day forecast by one of the major private forecasters is looking at a much above normal precip in an already saturated area of the country that is pretty used to getting some field work done at this point and getting into the planters relatively soon. So those two things, I even heard one fellow say that the fear of the stocks report came back in today late in the day and that some shorts covered because of that. The reports were funds only bought back or came in and bought about 1,000 contracts of beans, so wasn't a heavy volume day at all in terms of this recovery, so still leaves us vulnerable as we go into Sunday night's trade.
About 30 seconds left. What else do you have?
Well, we talked about the wheat, and we have to have that wheat come back around because the wheat really did, I think, shortchange the potential for the corn today and shortchange the potential for even the beans today for getting a better short covering rally. And if we can't get the wheat to find a bottom after that report, and those stocks are so burdensome for the wheat after USDA reports or the acres come out bigger than expected, then we're probably going to be dealing with a very short-lived retracement, technically oversold type rally in the corn that we're going to have to sell into.
Thank you much, Mike.
Thanks, Dave. See you later.
See you. Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics. He is in Lafayette, Indiana.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
In agricultural news, China reaffirmed its determination today to keep the yuan steady, rejecting U.S. arguments that a stronger exchange rate is needed to help iron out global trade imbalances. A deputy central bank governor painted a rosy picture of China's economic prospects and says Beijing will tweak monetary policy accordingly. A member of China's ruling Communist Party says if exchange rates are volatile, trade will have no anchor. There will be disorder in capital inflows and outflows, so as a responsible big nation, we must maintain relative stability of exchange rates. Maintaining the stability of major exchange rates is not only beneficial to China, it is also beneficial to the world. Lawmakers are threatening punitive duties against Chinese products unless the yuan resumes its ascent. China has effectively pegged the yuan near 683 to the dollar since mid-2008 to help its exporters ride out the financial crisis, but its stance is under growing fire from Washington. Lawmakers are threatening punitive duties against Chinese products unless a yuan resumes its ascent. Two dozen U.S. lawmakers unveiled a bill yesterday that would require the U.S. government to extend ethanol tax breaks and a hefty tariff on imports until 2016. Unless Congress acts, three of the four incentives will expire at the end of 2010. Sponsors say a long-term extension will assure a homegrown fuel supply and bring cellulosic ethanol, tabbed as the new generation biofuel, into commercial production. Food makers, meat packers, environmentalists, and budget hawks attacked the bill as a wasteful subsidy. The credits include a 45-cent a gallon tax credit for gasoline blenders, a 54-cent a gallon tariff on imports, a $1 a gallon credit to cellulosic ethanol producers, and a 10-cent a gallon small producer tax credit for ethanol. A new international study suggests agriculture needs revolutionary change to confront threats such as global warming and ending hunger in developing nations without adding to the ranks of the obese. The report says South Asia and Africa were battlegrounds for poverty reduction. Prospects for quick advances in curbing hunger are better for India and Bangladesh than sub-Saharan Africa. Funded by groups including the World Bank and the European Commission, the report says agricultural research needed reforms as radical as those that occurred during industrial and agricultural revolutions of the 19th and 20th centuries. The study concluded research needs to be increased and a fragmented seed-to-table food production system needs to be overhauled to improve cooperation between small-scale farmers, governments, companies, scientists, civil society groups, and others. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. Corn farmers in some parts of the Midwest are thinking about using a shorter season corn hybrid. Todd Gleason files this report on what that might mean.
A short season hybrid in central Illinois might be 105-day corn. Farmers in this area are considering this option because it might allow them to take advantage of a quick ship premium they believe elevators will be offering in the very early fall, though that's really just a guess. And maybe just as likely as central Illinois farmers finding a short-season corn hybrid to plant, says University of Illinois agronomist Emerson Nafsiger.
One of the big problems this year is that everybody in the northern Corn Belt that got burned last year by having a 110-day hybrid when they should have had a 102-day hybrid, the way the season went, you know, that got frosted before it was done only because it was later too late for the conditions, is going to look for those earlier season hybrids this year. And I suspect that the early season hybrids are going to be in short supply.
If a farmer can find a short season corn hybrid with a couple of caveats, Nafsiger might be okay with planting it, but not really.
So if you can get a good proven short season hybrid, and that's sometimes a little bit of an oxymoron because If it's a 98-day hybrid, it hasn't been tested much in this part of the country, in central Illinois. But I would never overdo it by saying, well, no matter what, I'm not going to plant that 110-day hybrid that I've been planting up to last year when I found that it was really later than it should have been. Understand that both our late planting and the unusually cool weather last year was a combination that we really haven't seen before. And Of course, harvesting more than half of our crop after the 1st of November is something we haven't seen before either. I guess it's always dangerous to say this, but the chances of such an unusual combination happening again are pretty rare.
Knapsiger says he offers a standard warning about taking a hybrid even the dealer isn't too sure about just because it is early in maturity. He's much more at ease with using proven hybrid technology for the geographic area. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Joining us now with cash grant analysis is Bruce Bostard of the Ludlow Co-op in Ludlow, Illinois. Good afternoon, Bruce.
Good afternoon.
I would suspect that after yesterday's drop on the board, the phones were quiet today.
They have been very quiet today, except for a few what is going on kind of calls out there.
And when those calls come in, what have you been telling people?
Heck if I know. The truth. Now, it's like a lot of things this last two years. I think we see a lot more that relates just to investment-type money and the flow of that money rather than corn and soybean supply-demand, and that opens up a whole new realm of what's going on.
Are your elevators pretty well full up, or are you needing to take in more?
We are still getting pretty well full up. We constantly see some stuff coming in when the roads permit. We've had a decent week out here, so we've seen some grain moving. We've had the dryers fired up at some of the facilities a couple days this week because it's still coming in wet.
Are you having to dock folk?
For moisture discounts, of course, and it's coming in 20-22%. We're, of course, discounting because we're drying it down before it can be shipped out. Quality-wise, we're seeing a few scattered damage problems, but nothing overwhelming so far. Find some wood to knock on here, I think, because you keep hearing horror stories, but I haven't seen anything that's that bad here locally.
So not that much number three and worse then, huh?
Nope. And really amazing, but it's been a good winter for it. I mean, it's been cold and consistently cold, not swinging back and forth in temperatures. And for having as much wet corn got put away as we've seen, that's been the ideal situation.
Now, do you think that say, in the next 30 days, that basis is going to weaken significantly because producers are going to have to empty out and get ready for the plan, or what?
I think that they have been moving corn over the past 2 months or so. So I'm not sure. I think they're being, by and large, proactive on getting grain moved.
Let's turn your attention to the soybeans. Are there any beans anywhere in the field left to give to you?
Actually, I was talking to another manager who got some new crop beans in this past week. There are some beans out there, not a whole lot, but we've seen export demand really back off this last couple weeks. The processors are taking some scattered downtime. The export meal movement has really slowed up.
What are your expectations for basis there?
Spotty. I mean, we've seen demand step back. We've seen the basis back off a little bit since the exports haven't been pushing the crushers. They haven't been wanting to push anything. But you'll see them book some meal and come in and pop the basis, or at least that's my expectations. But there'll be some short-lived pops out there.
And your prices today?
We are at $3.32 on nearby corn and $9.34 on soybeans.
Thank you very much, Bruce.
Thank you.
That's Bruce Bostard of the Ludlow Co-op in Ludlow, Illinois. And I'll be back in 2 minutes with a look at agricultural weather.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jeff Bossert. One of the heads of the University of Illinois' Financial Aid Office says there should be no impact on campus from Congress's decision to overhaul the way the federal government gives out student loans. Eliminating the Family Federal Educational Loan Program essentially cuts out banks from the process. Since the university has been part of the federal direct loan program for more than 10 years, Senior Associate Director Robert Anderson says this move by Congress should make things even more efficient in his office. He commends the direct loan program, saying students that apply quickly get their money. Anderson says the only schools that may have trouble adjusting are those that haven't used direct loan funds, or about 20 private schools and community colleges. Sources say Governor Pat Quinn is announcing at this hour that the daughter of the late U.S. Senator Paul Simon is his pick for a running mate. While Sheila Simon might be Quinn's choice, the Democratic Party State Central Committee has the final say. They'll meet tomorrow in Springfield to make the official pick. Simon is a law professor at Southern Illinois University and a former member of the Carbondale City Council. Democrats get to pick Quinn's running mate because primary winner Scott Lee Cohen quit amid questions about his past. Simon is on a list of finalists they'll choose from. Indiana will receive more than $61 million in federal stimulus money to help the state's lowest achieving schools improve their performance. The U.S. Department of Education says the money will be made available first to schools identified as persistently among the lowest achievers. Indiana's Education Department says there are 64 of those. After that, more than 200 schools that have failed to meet federally required annually yearly progress for 2 years may apply. School districts that apply for money this spring must be willing to take steps that can include replacing the principal or half or more of the teachers. About 600 third-grade teachers from various McLean County, Illinois schools will head to Wildlife Prairie State Park on a conservation field trip in Bloomington next month. But about 400 third-graders from Normal-based Unit 5 won't be there. Some school districts are reeling from delays in state transportation payments, and they've been forced to slash spending on buses for field trips. And that has a domino effect. Organizations that offer the destinations of those trips may have to adjust their budgets and change how they carry out educational missions. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey. Joining us now for our look at the agricultural weather is meteorologist Steve Hilberg of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center. Good afternoon, Steve.
Good afternoon, Dave.
I'm just beginning to enjoy today's weather, and it's going to turn again, huh?
Yeah, but it'll just be a little brief turn, and then we'll get the good stuff. It's nice out. It's nice and sunny out, but it is a little nippy. It's only 43 degrees out at Willard Airport right now, and there's a pretty good northeast breeze blowing. So it feels probably more like something in mid-February, not late March, but we'll take it over the cloudy, rainy weather. We do have a pretty good day coming for tomorrow, with temperatures probably getting up into the 50s tomorrow, low 50s at least. But then Sunday, as you alluded to, we have a system coming through here that'll bring us rain into starting actually late tomorrow night and then through Sunday. And then things start to get rapidly better, where a high pressure will move off to the east coast by Monday or Tuesday, and we'll get into some strong southerly flow. So next week looks dry, breezy, and increasingly warm. So that's the good news.
So maybe some aggressive field work will occur late next week, huh?
Could be, and it depends on where. Yeah, late next week, yes, I think. If we get the winds and the temperatures, certainly that will help dry things out. Looks like this next storm, the heaviest rain is going to be generally along and south of I-72. There will be rain north of that, but the heavier rain will be in the southern part of southern half of the state. So, fortunately, southern Illinois, southeastern Illinois, and adjacent portions of Indiana have been a little on the dry side, not nearly as wet as the northwestern half of Illinois. So they could probably handle a little bit more rain. But as you said, by late next week, we ought to see some activity.
And while we're doing that, I suppose parts of the Corn Belt, I'm thinking, far northwestern parts of the belt by midweek might see some rain.
Yeah, there could be some rain with another front coming through toward the middle of the week. But really, it looks like things are going to be pretty good most of the week in most of the region. Most of the western Corn Belt, I don't think we'll actually see anything until perhaps actually almost next weekend. By next Saturday, we could start seeing rain into the Dakotas, Nebraska, Kansas. But until then, I think this broad ridge of high pressure is going to keep things pretty spring-like and dry.
And very quickly, do you have a count on where we are on the month? for precipitation?
For precipitation, we are pretty close to average right now over most of Illinois, thanks to this last storm that went through. We had over an inch and a half of rain in down in Lawrence County, Richland County, about a half inch here throughout central Illinois. Northern Illinois didn't get much, but they had a lot earlier in the month. So when you look at the whole state as a whole, it looks like we're right on pace for a normal March.
Thanks much, Steve.
All right, Dave.
That's meteorologist Steve Hilberg of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center. And that is today's closing market report. Remember, you can listen to today's futures analysis, cash grain analysis, and weather reports on the World Wide Web. Go to WILLAG.org and click on the audio analysis tab. This is Dave Dickey.